Fred from Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 68th Cannes Film Festival, and I'm joined by John C. Reilly and Ben Whishaw, who star in the film The Lobster by Yorgos Lanthimos, and this film is in competition at the 68th Cannes Film Festival. So I thank you very much for being with us, and would like to start off the interview by right away asking you, is it just me, or does this film really not feel so distant in the future?
Yeah, I don't think the film is so far in the future. It's very similar to, in many ways, the way the world is now, like with all the surveillance and the government watching everything we do. But I do think it's easier now than ever to be single. I think there used to be much more pressure in the past to be married for everyone, you know. But I think most of the pressure comes from ourselves and our own expectations of what will make us happy, honestly, I think the compulsion to be in a relationship is often as base as I don't want to die alone. Someone has to take care of me. What if something happens to me? I need someone there to take care of me when I'm, you know.
So what do you think of the fact that Yorgos is from a different country? I mean, do you think that this fact impacted the film in terms of filmmaking language and the examination of themes, or even in the way in which it worked, or he worked? Because the film is very entertaining and enjoyable, but I think it's far from feeling like your typical blockbuster movie.
I didn't anticipate that it would be, or rather I would find it as moving as I found it, ultimately. I could see that it was a fantastic world that was being created, and that it was a study of very human, very relatable things. But I got more the black comedy of it, and the kind of poetry of it, and the almost surreal beauty of it at times, and the horror. But I didn't expect to find the love story between short-sighted woman and David to be so touching. I think probably because it comes out of this world where it seems so unlikely that anyone could actually have a sincere intimacy or connection. I found it really moving.
I like the, you know, I think there's a certain childlike quality to the characters that I think comes from, that's the, you know, I think totalitarian regimes and tyrants everywhere think the way to a better society is to control people. But what happens when you control people is you turn them into children. You turn them into infants, you know, like. So I think that's why pretty much all the characters in this film are operating from a place of, they're not fully realized people, because there's this outside oppressive state pushing in on them. And my character's no different than the rest. He's, you know, scared and trying to, they're all just desperately trying to understand the rules all the time. You know, what's going to happen to me? Like, even though we are at this place and everyone knows why you go there, there's this scene where he's describing what happens. They all have these theories about what really happens in that room, and they're terrified of it. And I just think that's true of oppressed people everywhere. When you don't have free will, you end up being sort of unrealized, you know.
Had you seen the film before yesterday?
I saw it once before, yeah.
What did you think when you saw the film? Did you pick up different messages from it? Because I think that as a film, it's very interactive. I think people have personal reactions to the film when they actually watch it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's, everyone's going to see something slightly different. I mean, John was saying earlier on that, weren't you, John? The two times you've seen it, the ending seemed completely different. One time it was optimistic, and other time not so much. It's the same film. The edit wasn't different, or nothing had changed. The same piece of work, but you're in some different head state or whatever, and you see something else in it. I think that I love that about. I think that's what all good art probably has in common.
I don't think I've ever had that happen with a film before, where I watched it and I was convinced that point of view was one way at the end of the film, And then the next time, completely different. And the second time I watched it, I thought, oh my gosh, you idiot. Didn't you see? It's right there. Not to give it away, but the first time I watched it, I thought, oh, he's going to stay with her. Have a beautiful but tragic love moment that he's going to sacrifice his sight for her to be with her. And the second time I watched the film, I was like, oh no, he's not coming back. And I knew he wasn't coming back even before they got to that restaurant, from some of the things he said and the way he was treating her as this somewhat pathetic blind girl. You know, at first he was very devoted to her, and then as time goes on, the second time I saw the film, I thought, oh no, he's pulling
see,
away.
I didn't see that at all last night, but that's what other people have said.
That's what maybe
everyone sees something see different.
It.
Yeah, maybe that's how it works. I think that Yorgos is used to working with a group of friends on a smallish budget, and yeah, with friends, you know. So there's a intimacy with each other and familiarity, and it doesn't feel, probably doesn't. Hasn't for him felt in the past like a sort of industry thing. It's just like a homemade, homespun thing. And although this was a bigger budget and there were big stars in it, I think that it had still had that quality of being a group of people coming together because we just loved it, and it was as simple as that. And we were just there to realise this brilliant script. And that no other consideration, no nothing else.
I find it refreshing to work with people from very different backgrounds, because you know, you work with someone who grew up in the town that you grew up in. Chances are, you're like, all right, well, we both feel the same way about this and that, and this is somewhat of a knowingness. Like, yeah, well, but you work with someone like Yorgos, or even some of the other actors who grew up in other countries and with other different backgrounds. It really forces you to look at things differently, you know? And these fresh perspectives. And I love how intellectual Yorgos and his screenwriter, Evdimos, are. You know, they're real thoughtful guys. You know, like, that's one thing Greece has always been great at, right? Philosophy?
Absolutely. By the way, the punishment is not so bad, right? The animal thing.
I would actually choose to be an animal. I mean, I think I wouldn't be so desperate. I'd think it would be okay to be an animal. I'd be curious to be an animal.
I'd probably be a dolphin. What would you guys be?
Well, maybe a bear. Yeah. Maybe a brown bear. I don't know.
We're getting into some kind of symbiosis because I literally was thinking bear.
Yes.
And then I thought, well, I want to sleep for that long. Bears are strange animals. I did a whole documentary about bears, yeah, with the voice of it. But very interesting.
I don't know that much, other than I like them.
Yeah, they hibernate. It's just a weird. What other mammals hibernate? It's a strange thing. For months and months and months at a time.
They just sleep.
Eat, and then they just lay there all fat and sleepy for months. Without going out.
So speaking of new age of communication, it looked like this film was shot in a place where, you know, you wouldn't even be able to get good reception on your phone. I'm from Ireland, so I'm quite familiar with the rural setting of the areas. What was it like to actually shoot in those parts, and what was it like to shoot with so many people? I mean, you talked about being in a group of friends, like in a production. Did it feel like that on set, maybe?
It felt great. It really was really warm. You know, if you work at home, you're just going back to your life every night, you know. And when you work on location, especially when you're all living together in the same location where you're shooting, you're just there. It's like, you know, you have so much more time together. You bond with people more deeply than you would if you were going off to your own trailer or going to your own home at the end of the night.
We had some great fun.
Yeah.
We hung out and sang songs, sang show tunes, and watched YouTube a lot and laughed. I think we watched other, you know, it was quite camp. It was mainly, you know, like, who was it? Elaine Stritch?
Yeah, Elaine Stritch, Judy Garland, all the greats.
It was me.
Barbara.
Yeah. Me, John, Ashley Jensen, who plays Biscuit Woman, and Jessica Barden, who plays Nosebleed Woman. Yeah, we And then John, I missed it. And John threw a big lobster party when.
At the end. Yeah.
Yes. It's very communal. Very.
Well, both of your characters have imperfections, and was that something that you kind of played around with as well while you were kind of on set, or is it something that you came up with beforehand and just stuck to it?
We had a lot of fun laughing at each other's impairments.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's just a so funny idea that people are so fixated on one aspect of themselves. I suppose it's true in life. It does happen. Not everyone's like that, but some people. I found it very funny, like these people walking around like, I have a lisp, I have a lisp, I have a lisp. That's all he thinks about is the fact that he has a lisp, desperate to find someone else. And then the fact that he has this limp, like, that's who he is. His limp is who he is.
Yeah.
Funny.
Because they're both kind of understated. They don't go over the top. But, like, I can definitely see how, like, it would cause some sort of hilarity in the sound of set, though, as well.
Well, all of those people are slightly pathetic in some way or other. And, you know, human and childlike. Yeah, I've been saying, you know, they're like children. And in a state of incomprehension, really. They don't understand what's happening, but they have these feelings and they know that they must do certain things, and they're in almost a state of panic or hysteria or desperation.
Paranoia.
Yeah, paranoia. Yeah, paranoia.
It must have been how it felt to be in a, I don't know, living under Ceausescu or like, you know, in East Berlin or something, where you're constantly trying to be aware of what are the rules. I don't want to break the rules, but I don't understand what the rules are. Like, you know, I'm trying to follow the rules, but I broke the rule by accident by trying to follow the rules. Like this obsession of like, what, you know, so it's. I think it makes people mentally ill but have too many rules, you know?
So in a more general term, what do you sort of look for in characters when you pick your projects?
For something different, something that's inspiring, something that feels like a new way of saying something, you know? I like absurd things. I like subversive things. I like things that are contradictory, you know, like a funny character that's also very tragic, or, you know, someone who thinks they're smart but is actually an idiot, you know, those kind of characters. Some of the dreamers who believe in absurd dreams, you know, I like those characters.
Yeah, I mean, I feel, you know, with a film like this, it's such a gift because they're so unusual and precious, these sorts of films that don't compromise, aren't trying to ingratiate themselves into the audience's favour. You know, they're quite blunt, strong things that you either like or dislike or argue with, or. But they're not pampering the audience, and they're not they assume you have intelligence and that you have a soul that you're bringing to bear, and a consciousness you're bringing yourself in. I love that, you know, that's amazing. Too many things don't allow that. I think that's damaging. And not, I don't find it interesting as an audience member anymore to watch films where it's like, why have you made this film? You're just telling me it's not enriching my life in any way. I feel that, so I'm drawn to things that would do that, challenge me.
As a final question, just going back to the film, do you think the lobster has an anti-obedient vibe to it?
Definitely. Yeah, it's fantastic. It is subversive. It is, you know, they break the rules. They have to make up their own, they have to figure it out for themselves, that couple, don't they? I mean, try to. It's beautiful. Yeah,
I think it also shows that no matter what kind of strict rules you try to put on human behavior, natural human impulse will always, it can't be suppressed. Eventually, It might damage the people, but you won't be able to... You can't control people, ultimately. I think that's why all totalitarian regimes are destined to failure, because human beings are just an instinctive force. So there's no way to... It's like trying to control water or something. You're not going to win that battle.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.